the importance of our having a balanced life. Now, I want to share with you the perspective from which I want to share the great truth of God about the importance of the balanced life. When the Lord Jesus called Simon Peter and Andrew, and I am convinced that he gave the same basic principles of living to all of the disciples, he used two words that describe the balanced life. He said to Andrew and to Simon Peter, "Follow me. I'll make you to become fishers of men." And from that simple little statement, he gave the whole picture of what it's all about. Follow me, I'll make you to become fishers of men. Now, Simon Peter had to learn, first of all, what it means to follow. Because that's the real command. That's the imperative. Follow. I wonder if you know how to follow. It's walking, according to the Apostle Paul. Walking in order that you might witness. But Simon Peter had a problem with this business of following. He had a problem with this business of walking. To him, the walk meant this: God, I've got what it takes. I'm well equipped. I believe that I can assist you and help you and everything that needs to be done. And after all, where would you be if it weren't for me? And so Simon Peter set out to think that the Christian walk, that the following, was to get the Lord to stay around him in order that he might help the Lord out, or if it happened to get to a pretty tough situation where perhaps he couldn't do what he needed to do, he would then call on the Lord to help him out. So you see, he really reversed the whole principle. He thought that following meant the Lord was going to follow him around. But that's not what the Lord had in mind at all. The Lord's principle of walking is not for you to try to get the Lord to follow you around and for you to perform for the Lord what you can perform for the Lord. And then if you get to a time where you can't do it, then you can say, all right, Lord, now, wherever you are following, come over and help me out of the jam. Help me out of the situation. The strategy of Satan is to get you and me to think that that's what it means to follow. In fact, a university football player was quoted in a magazine, a national magazine, not too long ago, stating something about his Christian experience. And he made this statement: after all, I'm going to do everything I can to be the best football player I can because God helps those who help themselves. And he was making that statement in all genuineness and in all sincerity, just like Simon Peter, in all genuineness and in all sincerity, thought that's what the Christian life was all about. But you see, the problem is, that is the opposite of God's truth. God doesn't help a man who helps himself. If you can help yourself, why do you need God? God helps the man who recognizes he's helpless. The Apostle Paul said, God, I'm weak. God said, wonderful, I'm strong. And in everything where you are inadequate, Paul, I'm sufficient. Now, Simon Peter started out thinking, I'm sufficient. But he came to a sad conclusion when the Lord asked him those penetrating questions: do you love me? Do you love me? Do you even have a personal, fond affection for me? And Simon Peter said, Lord, I'm a miserable failure. I've denied you. I've disowned you. I've disgraced you. I'm a miserable failure. And the Lord said, Simon, because you've come to that awareness, you've made that discovery, I want you to know that from this point forward, you're going to go out of this experience and you're going to experience my power, my strength. I'm going to undergird you. I'm going to be what you need. And Simon Peter became known as the man who was dead to everything that he was, but alive to everything God was. Now that's what it means to follow. It means to discover that Christianity is not what a man can do for God. It's what God desires to do for a man, with a man, through a man, by a man, in any way you want to describe it. It's God's activity in a human being. That's what it means to follow. And Simon Peter had some wonderful experiences following, walking in the Lord. He was the one who preached the Pentecostal sermon. What a transformation. From the time he denied the Lord three times when two ladies asked him if he was a follower, if he belonged to this man called Jesus, and another man asked him a similar question, and he denied it all three times, Why, what a change. What a transformation. Now here this disciple is standing before a mob of people in this city of Jerusalem and telling people that this Jesus is the life of God. And unless you accept him, you'll never discover life in God. People cried out and said, what can we do to have that life? And here this man who was afraid and frightened by two women and a man just a short time before said, here's what you can do. And he began to tell them how to accept Christ as his Lord and as his Savior. You see, God is beginning to fulfill the promise he made, if you follow, I'll make you to become a fisher. Just a few hours after the Pentecostal sermon, he was entering into the city of Jerusalem by the eastern gate. Another of the disciples was with him. And as they walked through the eastern gate, they happened to look down, and they saw a helpless beggar. And the beggar was crying out for somebody to pay attention to him, to give him some assistance. And Peter looked down at him, and he said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. And he told him about Christ. That man accepted the Lord, went out giving a witness of his experience, and a whole community was literally excited. On another occasion, Simon Peter spoke to another. This man was converted. He went out into another community. 5,000 people were born into God's kingdom as a consequence. At Pentecost, 3,000 as a direct result of Peter's witness. Now you would think, my, what a tremendous, exciting thing that's happening to this man. This man is walking in the Lord and witnessing to a world who needs to hear the message of the way, who's following and God's making him to become a fisher. Exciting times, thrilling times. And yet, it stabs us when we discover that this disciple, who had been used of God to preach the Pentecostal sermon, who had been used of God to lead many, many people in this time to the Lord, and their consequent result was that many, many others came to know the Lord, still had to be taught something about fishing for men, about witnessing to a world. Are you grasping the significance of the picture as it's unfolded to us in the Scripture? This man who on many occasions was filled with God's Holy Spirit, this man who preached at Pentecost, had to be taken aside by the Lord and taught a lesson about the balanced life. It may be that many of us engage in personal Bible study. It may be that we engage in a personal prayer time, a quiet time. It may be that we engage in many spiritual activities in the walk. We're following. We're seeking to come to know the Lord in a deeper and in a more personal way. And God may even be using us to lead some people to Christ. But I wonder if some of us may not need to be taken aside, like God took Simon Peter aside, to teach him what it really means to fish for men. Do you know that this lesson needed to be taught so emphatically that Luke, the physician, writing in the book of Acts, records the incident twice, back to back. The 10th and the 11th chapters of the book of Acts records the same story almost in verbatim detail, back to back. Simon Peter was on top of the house of a friend, Simon the Tanner, by the shore of the Mediterranean Sea. He got an impression that he ought to go up and pray. That's exactly what he did. And prayer is certainly involved in walking in the way. It's certainly involved in following the Lord. And so he went up on top of the house to pray. And he spent some time in his quiet time. Well, while he was on top of this house, in his quiet time, some folks down below were cooking a meal. Now, that's a pretty tough situation to be in. When you're trying to concentrate in a prayer time and somebody is below you cooking a meal and the fragrance of that meal begins to rise up and enter into your nostrils, it can really get tough in continuing the prayer time. Well, Simon Peter was there engaging in prayer and he was smelling the food that was cooking down below. And Luke, the physician, tells us that God took this grand occasion to teach this disciple about the balanced life. Not only did the man must follow the Lord, but that following the Lord must result in becoming a fisher of men. Not only is a man to walk in the Lord, but walking in the Spirit will always result in a man witnessing of the way of God to a world. And so God began to deal with this disciple. Three times Simon Peter was asked, "Do you love me? Do you love me? Do you have a fond affection for me?" Three times he denied that he knew the Lord. And now God is beginning to deal with this disciple. And he begins first by calling his attention very emphatically and very dramatically. For he lets a sheet-like object down out of the sky right in the vision of Simon Peter there on the housetop praying. And Peter looks up at this sheet-like object and sees in it all kinds of weird, strange animals and snakes and creatures. You can't imagine the sight. And God says to Simon Peter, "Simon Peter, you're hungry. You've been smelling the food that's being cooked down below. Well, you get up, you go over, pick out one of those animals, kill it, and eat it." And Simon Peter said, "Not me, Lord. You're not going to catch me touching anything. Those are unclean things." God said, "Simon Peter, I want you to look again. Do you know, the writer tells us that God performed the same visual aid all over again? Again, the sheet was let down out of heaven. Again, God said, 'Simon Peter, you hungry? Get up, go over and pick out one of those animals or creatures, kill it, and eat it.' And again, Simon Peter said, 'Not me, Lord.'" You may not be aware that God had to speak to this disciple just like the Lord Jesus had to speak to him three times. And a third time, that sheet-like object was let down out of heaven. And a third time, God said, "Simon, you hungry? Get up, pick out something, kill it, and eat it." Well, about this time, God began to get his attention. Do you know what God was trying to say to this disciple? God was trying to say something to this disciple that the Lord Jesus had said to him many, many months before, when God had, through his Son, spoken to this disciple on an occasion to say to him, "My meat, the thing that satisfies me, is to do the will of him who sent me. Simon, I'm showing you a picture. And you're thinking it's one thing. I want you to discover it's another. You see all of these strange creatures, these unusual animals? You're calling them unclean? I want you to know, Simon, what I'm showing you is a visual aid, an illustration of a world. I'm showing you all kinds of people. And I want you to see in this experience, Simon Peter, that you haven't had my vision of a world. You haven't really discovered my conception of what it is to fish for men. You've been satisfied only to tell your neighbors who are like you, your relatives, your children, just your family about me. But my vision is every man. Simon Peter, I am a respecter of no person. I am a lover of all persons." I believe that the greatest single indictment that can be placed upon my church is that my church basically envisions as its responsibility of witnessing to the lost of our community, the children of our membership, maybe a few friends, sometimes even adding in a few relatives. But as far as a real vision of every man, every woman, every boy and girl in my community, no, God needs to take most of us on top of the housetop and teach us about his vision. I wonder about this group. What's your vision? Is it God's vision? God's vision is not just friends. You see, Simon Peter's vision was just the relatives, the Jews. He didn't want to really consider the Gentiles, those untouchable Gentiles. Why, they're like the animals in that sheep, God. And God said, "That's exactly right. And I am a respecter of no person. What you are responsible for, Simon Peter, is not just your children and your friends and your relatives. You're responsible for a world. So God taught Simon Peter something he needed to know about fishing for men, about witnessing unto the world. In fact, young people, the Lord Jesus made this astonishing statement that when the gospel is preached to all the nations, the end is going to come. And Simon Peter, this man to whom this vision was written, wrote in his letter, 2 Peter, that when the gospel is preached, you and I can hasten the coming of Christ. We can actually cause his coming to be sooner by our getting out and getting the witness to every human being. In fact, Simon Peter wrote in the 3rd chapter of his 2nd letter, the only reason the Lord is delaying his coming is that he's patient for men to be saved, for them to hear the gospel and to be converted and to be redeemed. But not only did Simon Peter discover God's vision and feel God's compassion for every human being, but God also taught Simon Peter his methods. He taught him about his dealings with the lost. Oh, what a beautiful story. I don't have time to reveal all that's involved, but study that 10th and 11th chapter of the book of Acts. Simon Peter, at the same time God was dealing with him on top of the house, was not aware that God was also dealing with some lost Gentiles up the seashore. They were staying at this man Cornelius in Caesarea Philippi, or in Caesarea, was having God deal with him at the very same time. And many of you, I'm sure, would realize the story of the angel of God coming to Cornelius and his house. And God sent the angel, walked into Cornelius' house, and began to deal with him. Beautiful picture of God's Holy Spirit at work in the life of a lost man, preparing that lost man for you and for me to come to give the witness. You know, the thing I wanted to ask as I studied through this passage of Scripture, God, you went to all the trouble to send an angel to deal with Cornelius. The angel spoke to Cornelius, told Cornelius that he was to go down to a place get a man at Joppa whose name was Simon and bring him back all the way up the seashore, and he would tell you, he will tell you and all your household how you're to be saved. I wanted to ask God, God, why did you go to all that trouble? I see that you're at work in this man. You've sent the angel to deal with him. You've gotten his attention. In fact, God said through the angel to Cornelius, Cornelius, God has paid attention to you. He's noticed that you've been praying. He's noticed that you've been concerned and considerate for the poor. He's noticed about you. So you send for a man whose name is Simon, and that man Simon will come and tell you and all of your household how to be saved. I wanted to ask God, God, why did you go to all the trouble to send the angel? Why did you go to the trouble to have the angel speak to Cornelius? And I believe that God taught Simon Peter another great principle about fishing for men. That even though God's going to go to great limits, and God is going to do many things to stir up a lost man, he's going to call that lost man, he's going to convict that lost man, Simon Peter came to discover that God's method is still a man. He could have used the angel. Cornelius could have cried out in response to the dealing of the angel, "Oh God, I want to be saved, save me now." God could have saved him. But he discovered that in fishing for men, God's method is a man. God's method is still the person-to-person contact. So as we come to think about the balanced life, God has called us to follow him. And if there is the proper following, if we're walking in the way, then the result will be we're going to be used of God to fish for men. But even if we're used, God may need to teach us his vision, his compassion, and it's for every man. And God may need to teach us the importance of our being the instrument. And we may have to arise at a midnight, like Philip, who heard the call of God and didn't wait around, but arose at midnight and made his way to an appointed place in order that he might be able to be used of God, the instrument of God, at that place. That man had been reading through the Scriptures. He had been all the way to Jerusalem to try to find answers to his spiritual needs. But God said, I've got to have a man. And he called Philip. And Philip arose and ran. And he intersected him at an appointed place, God's appointed place. And God used a man to lead a man to come to know Christ as his Lord and as his Savior. Follow me. I'll make you to become fishers of men. Let's just join to pray that God might teach us more of how to follow, and that God might give us a vision of what it means to fish for men. Lord Jesus, thank you for every young person here. I thank you that there are some keen young people who are following you. I thank you that they have a walk in the Spirit, and that in that walk they're getting into your Word, growing up in your Word, spending time in prayer and fellowship with you. But, oh God, I know that there are many of us who are even being used of you, whom you would desire to use even in a greater way if we could only discover your vision of a world lost and your method, a man sent to a lost man to discover the way. For we pray it in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.